Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics from the state capital in Jefferson City. We want to talk about the thing that's on everyone's mind, the COVID vaccine, and we're joined by the Missouri Director of the Department of Health, Randall Williams. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Scott, it's great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Outstanding mask, by the way. I mean, no, didn't need better than that. Robert Nodell, the Deputy Chief of Staff to the Governor and the point person in charge of the vaccine rollout. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about how it's going right now. I mean, are you feel good about where the state is and right now, who can get vaccinated?
We're excited about the process that the state, the progress we've been making the last few weeks. Obviously, last week was a challenge as it related to winter weather, cold temperatures in the state, as well as difficulties for people moving around on the highways, getting to work or getting to a vaccination opportunity, as well as shipping, because the winter weather across the country where the vaccine supply is shipped from factories to that are around the country to vaccinators within the state of Missouri, we saw significant delays. So we did see a slowdown last week, but we've seen our vaccinators across the state really ramping up this week, making up for lost time, getting ahead, which is really exciting because we see future supply coming into the state growing and growing and growing. So it's really important that we stay caught up, that we stay ahead. And the fact that we have is really a credit to our vaccinators here in Missouri, our hospitals, our county health departments, our community health care providers, our FQHCs and pharmacies across the state. So they've done a great job. They've been resourceful. They've been aggressive, and we're happy with where we are.
The governor made an announcement this week that that more people are going to be eligible. How does that work? Who is going to be eligible, and when can they be?
On March the 15th, the governor and Dr. Williams will be activating a phase 1B tier 3, and that will include K-12 teachers, that will include grocery store workers, and that will also include other critical infrastructure workers that will help with our state's economic recovery from COVID-19. So we're excited about that. We wanted to announce that for March the 15th because we want to give the employers, the schools, time to prepare, time to partner with a vaccinator, and we're also going to be able to take advantage of ramped up supply to be able to continue to vaccinate those that are eligible today and continue to grow and increase that rate of those that are vaccinated today, as well as adding the new population.
Dr. Williams, you get the vaccine, which I assume, have you taken it yet?
Yeah, I have, thank you.
What does the vaccine do?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Clinically, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine offer 95% effectiveness from you getting hospitalized or sick. And we expect very similar with the J&J. There's been, some studies showing a slightly reduced efficacy to that, but that is largely dependent on the studies. So I just want to reiterate the message that whichever vaccine you can get first, we think is the best vaccine for you to get.
All right. I asked the governor this. I'm going to ask you. You're the head of the Missouri Department of Health. My mama back in West Butler County, she's not too keen on the vaccine. What do you tell folks like Terry Fahn and others like her that are a little apprehensive?
The first thing I would tell you is that all three vaccines have gone through a very rigorous safety examination. They go through tomorrow, the J&J will go before the FDA. That's both internal and external to government inspection. And then it goes before another committee called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. They look at it. This is all after it's been vetted by the company's scientist, Johnson & Johnson. And then we will look at it after the CDC looks at it on Sunday. So my team will be looking at it this Sunday to put all that together. And if, like with the Moderna and the Pfizer, we think it's safe and effective, then we will issue an order Sunday night and start receiving vaccine next week.
So what he's saying, Mom, is take the vaccine. Robert, how do you get this vaccine? What is the process by which Missouri obtains this and sends it out?
The federal government allocates to the state of Missouri, other states, territories, and tribes across the country an allocable share of the supply of vaccine that the federal government has purchased on contract from the pharmaceutical companies. And it's allocable to the percentage of population that Missouri makes up of the United States. So we receive our share of that.
We've been getting our fair share of that so far?
We are receiving close to the allocable share. It does sort of rise and fall by fractions because of the shipping sizes that are made available. But on Tuesdays of every week, the federal government lets us know how many doses of Pfizer, of Moderna, and then if Johnson & Johnson EUA is approved of it, that we can order for the coming week. So then we work with our state vaccinators to put the orders together to make sure that we're allocating fairly across the various delivery channels.
How many we get usually a week?
We have been getting, it has ramped up steadily to the point that I believe this week we received right at 120,000 doses. We will see that increase to just under 130,000 next week. And assurances.
How many do you actually stick in an arm? Do you have any left over? Or of that 120,000, how many actually make it into somebody's arm?
We are delivering approximately 150,000 vaccines a week, and that's because of the second doses that come also, because the Pfizer and the Moderna are two-shot vaccines. So in addition to the first shots that we receive every week, we're also, our vaccinators are administering second doses. But those vaccines don't ever come to a state warehouse. We never take possession of those. We allocate them and they're shipped directly from the pharmaceutical companies to the vaccinators, whether that be a hospital, health department, FQHC, et cetera.
Now, some of our friends in the city have said maybe they're not getting their fair shake. They don't like folks, I guess, in Leopold and Palmyra getting a different supply. I'm not exactly sure what the complaint is, but I've heard some folks from the city say, we want more. We want more than our share, however. How do you split that up?
We have broken up our allocations based on the 9 highway patrol regions of the state. And so each region itself receives a share that is roughly proportional to the population of that region. And in a given week, based upon the availability of vaccinators and the shipping sizes that it comes, you know, we try to make sure that number stays within plus or minus 3% of that region's allocable share based on population.
Dr. Williams, I saw that Dr. Fauci was on the news, and he said, well, even if you get a shot, you still got to wear a mask maybe for a year or two. Now, there'd be a lot of folks in St. Louis that probably think, oh, yeah, we'll wear the mask, and maybe not everybody has a mask quite as glorious as yours. But after you get the shot, when can you stop wearing the mask?
Well, it's a great question. We got some very exciting news based on science from the CDC about 3 weeks ago, that if you get the shot, 2 weeks after you get your second shot with the Moderna or Pfizer, or 2 weeks probably after the J&J, if you're identified as a close contact, you do not have to quarantine. So that's how effective they are. So that's one more reason to get the vaccine, because 2 weeks after it, if somebody calls you and says, oh, Scott, I hate to tell you this, but I was right next to you in the car going to Busch Stadium and I have COVID. If you were had the vaccine for 2 weeks, you don't have to quarantine. To answer your question specifically, at this moment in time, we're still encouraging people, whether you've been vaccinated or not, to social distance, wear a mask, and use good hand sanitizer.
So when do you think there'll be a time when, let's say, hypothetically, overweight, early 40s hillbillies can get a vaccine?
Yeah. We are very excited. We think that we can look toward, both in the United States and in Missouri, probably in late April, May, open up to what in Missouri is phase 3.
And after you're slightly overweight, or maybe a little more than that, overweight hillbillies get the shot, when will the mask stuff go away?
Well, I can't, that'd probably be speculation at this point, but I do believe.
But it ain't going to be 2022, right?
No, I truly believe that by the time we get to July, every Missourian in the state who wants a vaccine will have had one. And that we believe once that happens, and we should at that point be at herd immunity, which is about 75% of the population is either had the disease or has had a vaccination. We clearly think that come August, July, that we will resume many normal activities like going to see the Cardinals.
Well, that's the last question I got for you. This year, I know you advised the governor. Well, I did one other question. So when you advised the governor, at what point of, I've heard you know, people testing positive or getting a vaccine. Is it 75% of Missourians have a vaccine or have had the disease? That's when you would tell the governor, okay, let's go back to business as usual. What is that metric you're looking for?
I think what you're going to see is that by June or July, when everybody's had a vaccine that mm-hmm. wants one, and you'll have that that number of people who've had the disease, I think you'll see both nationally and in Missouri that many of the restrictions, if you want to say, that you're encountering now will be removed.
So, Robert Nodell, will people be able to go to the ball game in Busch Stadium just like regular Americans have the right to this year?
We are hopeful that that will be the case, absolutely.
Dr. Williams, I mean, the state government has a lot of functions. Most, the most important one is to provide a healthy, safe environment for the Cardinals. Will that environment exist this year?
You know, that's going to be up to the baseball league. They will.
If the president called you.
If the president calls me.
The main president, yeah. President DeWitt, called
yeah.
you
yeah.
and said, should we have Scott and Gussie Fahn at the ballpark, what would you tell him?
In July, I would say yes.
What about June?
Based on what I know now, I would say yes in July. June, I think, might be a little premature, but certainly July, based on what I know now.
And where did you get that glorious mask?
You know, I got this here in Jeff City, and I wear it proudly.
Of course.
So give me real quickly, what's the scouting report for the Redbirds this year?
Oh, I think we got a good shot. We got enough arms, live arms. I think we're going to be good. Arenado's going to make everyone better. I mean, I think it's a great time to be a Missourian, and I think it's a great time to go watch the Cardinals in person.
Well, you know, while Robert and I have been kind of doing this, Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, love to get a World Series.
And you know,
in
those
there.
Things are nice for the people that like those kind of things. But really, we're looking for a 12th World Series. I mean, that's kind of what we're – I mean, that's got to be the goal of the governor and everybody in state government. I want to thank both of you for making the time.
Thank
what
you.
A serious project you guys have working
yes,
on.
Sir.
And I think everybody appreciates the effort you're putting into it. And,
thank
Mom,
you.
Get your shot. We'll be right back from here in the Rotunda. Aaron Griesheimer is going to join us after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics from the state capitol. Pretty busy week wrapping up here. We are with freshman legislator from Kansas City's Northland, Ashley Awney. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Betsy Fogel flipped a seat from Republican to Democrat down in Springfield.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm at the Vandervoort in Springfield, where do I get to your district?
I would like to point out that there are other things in Springfield besides the Vandervoort. People always ask me that question. But if you are downtown, I am just east of there. So I have Central East Springfield.
I understand. Missouri's Mayor Kerry Turgeon, the mayor of Jefferson City, thank you so much for joining us and
thank
hosting
you.
Us here in Jeff City.
Absolutely.
And Aaron Griesheimer, political legendary family from Franklin County. Welcome back to the show. What a week here at the Capitol, but let's start with what everybody else is talking about, the COVID vaccine. We had Randall Williams on and Robert Nodell earlier talking about the rollout. I mean, I think that everybody that wants one can't get one because everybody would have one. But with what they've started with, I kind of think they've made good what they have, right?
I think they really have. And I just want to thank you first for having me on the show again. It's a pleasure being here. You know, I think the governor's office has done a very good job of trying to get the vaccinations out as soon as possible. You know, obviously, it's a trickle-down effect. We've been waiting for the feds to give us enough vaccinations so we can distribute them in the areas that they're most desperately needed. But I appreciate the governor's office and their leadership in helping us distribute these vaccinations to those that can qualify and get them to those that need it most.
Now, what everybody watching this is going to wonder, and if I don't ask, I'll get tweets, has the legendary Big John got his yet?
He has gotten his, yes. He's waiting for his second vaccination, which should be coming soon.
Representative, I mean, to me, you could always do better. And I think there's been some folks that have criticized the rollout, but we learned earlier in the show, they get about 120,000 a week now. That may creep up to 130 before long, but they do it by highway patrol districts. What would be the best way to get the vaccine to the folks that need it worst?
So I think the highway patrol districts is a really interesting approach. Mm-hmm. My opinion is that focusing on population density is going to probably be, or would probably have been, a more effective way at looking at things from someone who comes from a more densely populated area. I was actually in a situation where I represent Platte County and a little bit of Clay County. Platte County was having a serious issue getting any vaccinations because Clay County was only allowing Clay County residents to get vaccinated in their high throughput facilities. Now that was a mistake, it has been corrected. However, folks in my community were being asked to drive an hour and a half away to Sedalia and other places where it's just not convenient for them. So the highway patrol districts, while I do understand why it was used, I'm not sure if it was the most effective.
You know, I've seen several Democrats have called for adding to this list, adding teachers, adding first responders. I know Dave Cook has made impassioned arguments for UFC workers. The governor this week has announced that starting March 15th, they'll have that. Do you think that's kind of him listening to some of the concerns?
I hope so. Another area that I would add to that is, of course, teachers. I think there's a lot of people out in the state that are concerned about teachers that are in the classroom. Mm-hmm. As we've had a lot of debate today, public education and education at large is the core of our community, and we need to make sure that the teachers are safe. And I know that there's been a lot of people reaching out to the governor's office in defense of that or support of that. So I would have liked to see teachers out a little bit early. And hopefully we get some good news
and
this week.
On the 15th, they'll come in and they'll be added. And, mm-hmm. But I mean, going forward, I don't know the way they break it down. I think it's just a scarcity issue, right? I mean, there's a lot more people that want this vaccine than there are vaccines.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, supply and demand. We all know that logic. So to kind of piggyback off the last question, to me, as someone who's worked in public health, I say give it to healthcare providers and have healthcare providers put it in people's arms. I think that's the best way of getting the shots.
Let them decide who, or just let everybody come and get one.
Of course, I think there should be tiers. We know that there are people that are more susceptible and more likely to die from the virus. And I think that we need to triage and prioritize. But I think healthcare providers are armed and able to make those decisions, of course, with the state's help and state's guidance. But that's what healthcare providers do all the time. They respond to the emergency at hand, triage based on resources in need, and make the best decision for the patients.
You know, it's in a crisis where a lot of times certain people have a chance to lead. I think it's been, and I've said this publicly, very impressive the way you've led Jeff City. You've led Jeff City. You haven't had to order people. You've been an example, as you are right now with the mask you have and the policies at your store, which is my daughter's favorite store in all of Jeff City, downtown, Carrie's Hallmark. Tell me about working with the state and how you've made the decisions you've made to, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch now, probably be Missouri's mayor with the way you've responded to this crisis. What has been the involvement with the state? And what metrics have you looked at to make decisions for the folks here in Jeff City?
Well, thank you. And our goal has been to be an example to other cities throughout the state, being the capital city. And what we've done that's been very successful and encourage others to do the same is that we work together. And that is why we're successful, because we have weekly meetings with the city, with our county, and with the leadership of our local hospitals. So CAP Region, SSM, Community Health Center, JCMG, and our Cole County Health Department, and we meet every week virtually. And we discuss the vaccine, getting the word out, you know, how do we market this so that people know what's going on. And then we also have weekly press briefings every week with that same group, so we get that message out to the public. We share it on Facebook, City of Jefferson, Missouri Facebook page. We also have ways to utilize getting the message out, but the only reason it works is because we're collaborative. And these are, you know, competing hospitals, of course, but we all come together during the pandemic and we are as one, and we work together, and that's why we're successful.
Aaron Griesheimer, there's a lot of talk about St. Louis County. Seems like the whole state talks about St. Louis all the time almost. But changing the way local folks are able, the local county executives, health department folks. You know, in my county, it's a third-class county, the health board can make the decision independently without the county commission. That's something I guess is being looked at. What is the best way for a county like Franklin County? Who should be making those decisions on how long you could shut someone down or have an order? How should that end up being?
You know, I think it's important that, as you pointed out, Mayor, that we have collaboration, you know, between the county commission and the health department to decide what's best for their constituents, what's best for the population as a whole.
So it's interesting to me, this is the debate of should you even be able to lock people down? Should you be able to shut down restaurants and businesses? But in an urban area, I always found it interesting. I thought Parsons' approach was especially good because in Butler County, Vince Lambie was not going to have any, and the people, even if he would have done orders and restrictions, I don't think the people would have done them, which would have made them not even take one seriously if it was really needed. In an urban area, they want that. That's what people want. Sam Page has caught a lot of flack, but I think that's what his people want. Quentin Lucas, he's caught some criticism, but I'm not sure that's not what people wanted there. The local control seems to have worked. What changes would you make to it?
The changes I would make, honestly, are a lot less practical at a state level. What I was really hoping for at the beginning of this campaign was really serious federal leadership, top-down leadership, that included truly sending stimulus money to every American and every business that needed it in a way that was clear and easy to navigate. What we saw instead was a lot of folks who were getting shut down by their local entities but had absolutely zero fiscal help from anyone. And that to me was the real struggle. I saw businesses close. I continue to see businesses close in my community, and it's heartbreaking. I've seen jobs lost, and people do not have the financial support to go on. So while I do think, yes, local control, the way Governor Parson allowed, you know, mayors to make that call for their community, I think that was absolutely great for our urban areas. I just think our top-down federal leadership is what was lacking.
Your background is in public health. Mm-hmm. What did you think? Well, I mean, Springfield's been praised for their response. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you go down to Old McDonald County, I'm not sure that would have flown down where they shot the movie Jesse James.
Right. And, you know, I think we can all acknowledge this is a very complex issue. To speak to my background in public health a little bit, you know, I think we need to take a step back and look at our funding structures for places like our public health, our local public health agencies. We rank last in the country for per capita spending in local public health aid. And I think that became evident this year. So if we want to talk about local public control or any of these things, I think it wraps up into where our priorities are, and not specific to COVID, but historically, we need to make sure that people have the tools in their tool belt to respond when a crisis happens. We've seen it happen this year, it will happen again, and we need to correctly fund and resource the people making those decisions.
Prediction, will you pass a bill changing the exact mix of a local control for a health crisis in Missouri?
Yes, I think we will.
What do you think happens?
I think it happens, but I'll fight against it.
What do you think?
I just voted against it in committee, but it's going to happen.
You talk to the governor quite often. If he asks you your thoughts, what do you tell him? I mean, how's it, the way it works in Cole County and Jeff City, did that work?
It did work, and we need to keep that communication very open, and we appreciate the governor's openness to have the phone calls with mayors and other entities so that we are constantly in that communication.
I thought it helped him that it wasn't the first time he had been in contact with, not just you, I mean, you're down the street, but he Quentin Lucas, Lida Crewson, those are phone calls he'd been making and relationships he'd been building before this. He didn't have to make it in the crisis. He'd already had those relationships.
Absolutely. You have to have those built, and he made it a priority from the minute he became governor. The first thing he did was meet with mayors, and that's important. And especially now as we transition into the next phases of this pandemic with the vaccine and with different tiers and everything that goes along with it, and continuing to take precautions in a smart way so that we can get back out and hold events and do things. So that transition is important to keep that communication open.
Okay, you've been a state legislator for 2 months, and today you had the people that run the place screaming and yelling and couldn't start for an hour, and they passed some bill. I'm not sure that a lot of people even know what it was on schools. What was you sitting there thinking in your chair as all these events started unfolding around you?
What I tell people about this job is it is easily the most insane and incredible thing I have ever done. It is
The things that go on in this building are so big and so important and so impressive, but at the same time, it's a huge responsibility. Yeah. There's a lot of weight to what we do in this building, and at the end of the day, you know, on a crazy day like this, I look around and I see people who are really passionate about fighting for their communities on either side of an issue, and I'm just really proud to be a part of this body.
So, Ingrid Jeremy, passed a bill dealing with schools.
Yes.
Give me the high points to a guy that maybe drives a truck in New Haven. What happened today?
You know, I think this opens the door for our kids. This bill, obviously, the way it's written in the House, does not apply to my district, my legislative district. But for those that it does, it gives parents an opportunity to send their kids to perhaps a school district where their kids can succeed. And that's where I see it. And I think, you know, even though we sit on different sides of the aisle, I think we can agree that we're trying to help our kids. And we all have different ways of approaching that. But I see this as a definite win for our
kids. Was it Representative John Black that had an amendment about transportation funding?
Correct.
That will help folks in Franklin.
The 40%, the 40% funding for the transportation of our kids in school districts.
You had to be like, you know, yelling and can't start and starts and stops. You know, that's not how you would run something, I think, intentionally. But the way it came out, what did you think of the bill? And what does it mean to you? Like, what does that person who works at the Vandenberg, what does it mean for them?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of questions in there. For a freshman walking into it, of course, today was an amazing experience, a little bit insane, but amazing. I think as freshmen, we're spending a lot of our time just trying to keep up with the pace of how quickly things move. For me, you know, I represent Springfield, and Springfield Public Schools, we're the largest school district in the state, and I have really big concerns about any time we take public dollars and reinvest them in the private sector. And I oppose the bill, will continue to do so, and think that we need to do everything we can to correctly and appropriately fund Springfield Public Schools, and I'm just not willing to gamble on the kids in my district's future.
We can't correctly and appropriately end on time if we don't start now with who won the week.
All right, I think the Biden administration won the week. I think that what we're seeing across the country is lower rates, lower infection rates, lower death rates, and higher inoculation rates.
Seems like a kind man. And I think that's a great thing in a leader. Won the week.
This is going to be cheesy, but I think I did because I get to come in this building every single day and represent the people in my district, so that answer will always be me.
It's the first time anybody's double bank shotted themselves. I like Keller tries to do that, but you did it well. Aaron, who won the week?
I got to give credit to the Speaker Vescovo and his staff. I think they definitely won the week. This was a historic vote today, and I know there was a lot of hard work involved.
Sure.
So I got to give them the credit.
Missouri's mayor, who won the week?
The Bicentennial Bridge won the week because we started construction on the bridge this week, and we have no riverfront access, so that's going to change in the bicentennial year, and we should have it ready about by August, and you'll be able to get down to the Missouri riverfront.
August of this year?
Of this year, of 21. Wow. That's why it's the Bicentennial Bridge in our bicentennial year. They started construction off of Chestnut near the historic penitentiary, and this island that you can access is a riverfront park right outside your door here at the Capitol. So
terrific.
That definitely won the week.
I'm going to say two folks. I'm going to cheat this time and go to one, Senator Carl Esslinger, 2 months into her term in the Senate. Representative Zoe very well on the floor, had a great coming out party. I'm going to say Representative John Black, another South Central Missouri guy. A lot of times rural Republicans just sell out to St. Louis Republicans for nothing. He did something that's interesting. He actually helped that yellow dog run on time. And as a kid that rode the yellow dog 45 minutes from Stringtown to Neelyville, anything you can do to make that school bus better, I'm for. Hope you'll win the week next week by joining us here next week on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.